Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
Welcome back to the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia, as we continue to get ready for Saturday's playoff game between the Bills and the Colts. We welcome in one of our regulars, Sal Capaccio, from our Radio.com sports sister station, WGR in Buffalo, and you'll be able to hear him on the sidelines with the call on Saturday. And Sal, you won't be alone in the stadium on Saturday as well. How excited are you to have fans in the stadium, albeit 6,700 or so?
Listen, it has been lonely down there in the moat all year. I am super excited to have fans, seriously, like, it's great. I'm just really happy that some people get to see them, and I'm happy for the players. They get to look up and see fans and people, you know, that are going to be wearing, you know, Bills Mafia colors and gear and things like that. It's really, really cool that that's going to be able to happen. They're not going to make a big difference as far as loud. Sure, I mean, you'll hear them, but, you know, they're not going to cause Philip Rivers to have to, you know, get false start penalties, change audibles and things like that, but I think they're going to make an emotional difference.
Sal Capaccio, WGR, Buffalo Bills Radio Network, our guest here in the Sports Bar, the story being the wide receivers. So things sound encouraging. Give us an update here, Sal, as far as what you saw out there today.
Yeah, so this morning, Sean McDermott said that he didn't know, you know, what the status of Cole Beasley or Stephon Diggs would be going into practice today. This was before practice. He was doing his weekly Zoom call, and obviously Beasley's been out with a knee injury. He didn't play last week. Diggs has an oblique injury. It's been interesting with him this week because he hasn't practiced, but then he told the media that, you know, don't believe everything you read, I'm fine, and then he didn't practice after that. So who knows? But anyway, so we go out there, and, you know, I'm only out there, we're only allowed to watch stretching, especially on, well, what would normally be a Friday, this week is Thursday, because the game is on Saturday. We only get like 6 minutes, literally, to watch. And as soon as I go out there, I'm looking for Diggs, but then I see Beasley. And Beasley's out there. He's jumping around, bouncing around. He's getting ready. He's stretching. So is Stephon Diggs. So, yeah, I mean, they were both out there. It was encouraging in that respect.
Yeah, you know, we have the AFC Offensive Player of the Month in Buffalo once again for the second time this year. Josh Allen receiving that distinction earlier today, Sal. I mean, we've spent so much time this year talking about the gigantic leap that he's made in his development from year two to year three. I don't even know where to begin with. I mean, is there anything that Indianapolis can do? This defense, you know, is not a very blitz-heavy defense from what we understand. What do you expect the Indianapolis defense to throw at Josh Allen to try and knock him off his game a little bit on Saturday?
You know, they don't blitz a lot, so I don't expect them to just get out of character. They have a good front four, and, you know, DeForest Buckner, it's funny, Josh gets to be the AFC Offensive Player of the Month. DeForest Buckner is the AFC Defensive Player of the Month. He'll be facing him on Saturday. He's very good, and they're going to probably stay to their character and who they are. I expect them to try and keep everything underneath, not get beat with the big play. You know, they got torched down the field by the Steelers of all teams, a team that does not love to throw the ball down the field. They haven't been doing that much this year, and, you know, that's how they lost that game a couple of weeks ago. I think they don't want to put themselves in a position where that happens with the Bills and to give Josh Allen and his weapons an opportunity to do that. So I think they're, you know, there's only so much you can do to, I think Josh is beyond the point of, you know, confusing him or things like that. So I think they're just going to probably try to play as much as they can, you know, keeping things underneath, coming up, making tackles, and not getting beat over the top.
Sal, we haven't talked since, well, last week, certainly. Isaiah McKenzie, did he make himself a lot of money with that performance from last week?
Yeah, that's one way to look at it for sure. You know, he's going to be a free agent at the end of this season. He was a restricted free agent at the end of last year. The Bills did not qualify him, but the only reason they didn't do that was because it would have cost them a lot more money than just simply letting him go to free agency and then bringing him back to a lesser deal, which is what they did. They did that. Then they trade for Stephon Diggs, and people were asking literally like, wow, you think Isaiah would have even signed here, you know, if Stephon Diggs wasn't here? But he carved out a niche for himself still. He made the team, and here he is having a big role. And look, guys, I mean, if Cole Beasley can't play, you could do a lot worse than Isaiah McKenzie in the slot as your backup, right? I mean, I think he proved that. So, yeah, he absolutely, you know, showed that he has a role on this team. It's an important role. It's not only as a wide receiver, it's as a return man. I mean, Andre Roberts is terrific at what he does, but, man, if something happens to him, you got Isaiah McKenzie back there, too, who can make things happen, obviously.
And Sal, we haven't spent enough time, I think, this year talking about the job that the special teams unit has done for this Buffalo Bills team, and it might be the difference come Saturday as well. I mean, when you see Bohorquez with a coffin corner on Sunday, I'm like, my goodness, they're firing on all cylinders. You're scoring points with your special teams. Bass has been fairly consistent. I mean, talk a little bit about what that special teams unit has meant to the Bills' success so far this year.
You go back to January last year after the playoff loss, and Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean both said, you know, we want to make sure we upgrade our special teams. We got to be better in that area. And I think when you hear that automatically as a sports fan, as a football fan, guys, you think, all right, punter or kicker. And we all knew that they would probably be at least on the lookout for another kicker, and we didn't know what Stephen Hauschka's situation would be. Because it was clear that if you have a kicker with a stronger leg in that playoff game against Houston, you might have a better chance to win because they just didn't have one that could make it. Then you wonder about the punter. But what they really meant wasn't just beyond that. It wasn't just that. It was beyond that. And look, they did have to go out and get another kicker with a stronger leg. And Bass has been terrific, especially after, you know, a little bit of an inconsistent start to the season. But what they really meant by upgrading special teams was getting guys like Tywan Jones here, getting guys like Tyler Matakevich here. Those guys have made a huge difference. You add them to the Jaquan Johnsons and the Saran Neals. It truly is like a really good special teams unit, whether that's punting or kicking, kickoff and return and coverage, all that kind of stuff. And I think Heath Farwell's done an amazing job as a special teams coordinator with all of it.
Sal Capaccio, you'll hear his reports coming up Saturday as the kickoff 1:05. Our pregame coverage will begin at 9 a.m. here on ESPN Rochester. For the Colts in this game, if you had to draw up a blueprint, Sal, I think most people would say, well, the two running backs that they have, how big a concern would you say is that for the Bills' defense? How would they go about this? Do you do anything differently if you're Leslie Frazier?
I think it's a concern. The Bills, at times this year, have been leaky against the run. This is a very good run offense. Especially Jonathan Taylor, who over the last almost half of the season has been one of the best running backs in the league. But, hey, I also think that when the Bills decide we're going to not let you do what this one thing, whatever that is, they're very good at stopping that. And to me, that's what this comes down to this week is we're going to make sure we stop the run. And then, hey, if Phillip Rivers can beat us throwing the ball, then, you know, then let him try and do it. And I think that's the philosophy you have to approach in this game, which is, don't let this team beat you running the ball. Don't let them beat you doing what they do best. Force Phillip Rivers to throw the ball down the field. He hasn't been great at it. He's having a nice season. He's got a nice completion percentage. But they're very much like the Steelers where they keep a lot of things short. They throw to their backs. They throw to their tight ends, stuff like that. And I think the Bills have to have the same approach that they did against the Steelers back in that Sunday night game. Get everybody up near the line. Play the run. Force everything. Don't let those guys get open quickly because Rivers is going to get rid of the ball. And, you know, force them to make plays by having him hold on to the ball and wait for guys to get open. And I think that would be your best formula for success.
And Sal, we're not, you know, the team isn't allowed to look past Saturday, but we're allowed to speculate and look past Saturday. And we see how the bracket lays out for the Bills. I mean, we're rooting for the Steelers on Sunday, right?
Yes, I don't know.
Assuming the Bills win.
I don't know. I guess it depends on your perspective. But sure, I totally get that. I think you'd rather play the Steelers than you would the Titans or Ravens in a lot of ways, right? I mean, I do think that's the case,
yeah.
If that's where you're going with it. Now, if the Steelers lose, though, you also have to think of, okay, well, maybe then, you know, that's one less team out of the way that might be a threat. But, yeah, I think that the two teams that were the toughest, you know, opponents for the Bills were probably Titans, Ravens, and even Colts. I thought the Colts were, you know, this is a team that always had a little bit of a challenge for me and like, they're going to pose some problems. But every team would at this point. Yeah, I see where you're coming from, and I think that would probably be the best, you know, solution. But we'll see what happens in that game before that. You know, maybe you watch the Titans and Ravens, and whoever loses, whoever wins, you're like, you know, I mean, that didn't look that good. The Titans haven't looked that good the last, you know, few weeks of the year anyway. They went to Green Bay on a Sunday night game in the snow and didn't look good at all.
Sal Capaccio, our guest here, Brian Daboll is going to get some interviews. Certainly we know the Jets have requested. We know the Chargers have requested. So as far as a timeline for Daboll, how do you get this in this new offseason, Sal? Part one of the question. And then part two of the question, if Daboll ends up leaving, they just automatically promote Ken Dorsey here?
Well, first of all, I think Brian Daboll has earned every right bit of what he's getting right now, and good for him. You know, he has put a lot of time in this league, in football. This is his lifelong dream, I'm sure, to be an NFL head coach. Whether that happens now or not, I think he's earned that right. I think it will happen, whether that's the Chargers, who I think, you know, with the Tom Telesco being their GM and them going to high school together here in Buffalo, the GM of the Chargers and Brian Daboll. You know, Justin Herbert is there. It's a great job. You know, the Texans with the tie-in there with the Patriots people in charge in that front office and him used to being there. I think he has a really good shot here. No, I do not think it's automatic that Ken Dorsey gets elevated. Guys, this will be the most attractive offensive coordinator job on the market. The Bills owe it to their own organization and everybody to vet every single person who's interested, because there's going to be a lot of really good people interested and a lot of good quality, you know, qualified people. And maybe that's Ken Dorsey. Maybe Sean McDermott says at the end of the day, hey, there's a great relationship here with Josh Allen. He's going to keep consistency. But Bills fans have to start thinking a little different than what we've always thought of in the past. Like, this is no longer a, okay, well, you know, let's just make sure we keep everything. Look, you can have your pick of the litter here if you're the Buffalo Bills. If you ranked every single offensive coordinator job came open right now in the NFL, I think the Bills are the second best job available behind the Kansas City Chiefs.
Sal, what about the front office? We heard rumors of Joe Shane taking some interviews for some open GM positions. Anything there?
Yeah, I mean, Joe Shane's going to be a GM someday, just like Brian Daboll's going to be head coach, I think, and that could very well be this year. I'm not really sure. I mean, these jobs, you know, there's a lot of good candidates. They dry up pretty quickly. And you'll see, and it's got to be the right fit for a lot of these guys. Joe Shane's a rock star. He really is. He's excellent in his role, but the Bills have a lot of rock stars. And Brandon Bean, though, there's two rosters for the Bills, guys. There's the player roster, and then there's the front office roster. And Brandon Bean has really built an incredible front office roster. He has a lot of really good, ambitious people who are excellent in their roles, excellent communicators. They've really gone through, I think, you know, a great process here in Buffalo to learn what it's like to work under people like Brandon Bean and with Sean McDermott. So if that happens, good for Joe Shane. Again, you know, welcome. I would applaud him and wish him the best of luck. But the Bills also have Dan Morgan, and they have Lake Dawson, and they have Brian Kane, and they have Terrence, forgetting the name right now, but you get the point. You know, they are just a really, really good group of people to choose from to take these spots if that comes to fruition.
Yeah, if the one name we haven't mentioned as far as people that might deserve an opportunity to run a show somewhere else is Leslie Frazier. I think we'd all agree he'd be a fine candidate. Is it just as simple, Sal, as this is a league now that is stressing offense and you want to make sure you develop a quarterback and Leslie Frazier isn't coaching on that side of the ball?
First of all, let me say Terrence Gray. I don't want to get his name wrong here, and I deserve to put Terrence Gray's name out there when I forgot his last name. No, you know, I think there's a few things at play here with Leslie Frazier. You know, he's a little bit older. Not to saying that older people can't get jobs. I mean, Marvin Lewis is interviewing. He's been around the league and things like that. I think that the trend has been, however, to go in a younger direction as far as a head coach, most recently in the NFL. Yeah, I think there's something to be said for he's a defensive guy where, you know, a lot of times now the trend is to go with an offensive guy. So that could very well be it as well. He doesn't have that pizzazz and that name. He also was a head coach, and that should work for him, but, you know, he wasn't a real successful head coach, and maybe that works against him. I think Leslie Frazier deserves much more consideration than what we're all hearing, which is basically nothing. I haven't heard his name really bantied about with any of these jobs. But you know, he's done a very good job in his role. He had a shot to be a head coach, and, you know, maybe he'll get it again at another time. You know, I will say, when I do see guys like Marvin Lewis getting interviews, that's when I say, come on, why is Leslie Frazier not getting interviews? You know what I mean? Like, I know Marvin Lewis is a coach for a long time. I know he took teams to the playoffs, but it seems like Leslie Frazier should be getting interviews if that's the case. But I do think there's something to what you said. It's not just about developing quarterbacks, but, yeah, I think there's a trend of let's get the offensive, young, you know, innovative person in here. When people really, all you really need to do is get the right person. It shouldn't matter about that. Get a leader. Get somebody who knows how to be head coach and can delegate and bring in the right assistants. And to me, that's never been about offense or defense.
So it kind of leads me to this, Sal. How did Sean McDermott kind of, because if we were talking maybe 18 months ago, we'd be saying this is a defensive-minded head coach that likes to win games 16-13. I think you've heard that. How did Sean McDermott remake his image here?
You know, I really give Sean a lot of credit for digging into all of the different things you have to as a head coach, as far as numbers, trends, analytics, if you will. You know, I'm not going to sit here and go analytics. I'm not that guy. But I do think that you have to be on top of all of that stuff. And I'll even go so far as, guys, they are very, very much into sports science here in Buffalo. They have a sports science department, the trainers, the new training facility they built, like all of those things. Sean is very on top of all of that. He wants to know all the new stuff. He goes back and, you know, he studies everything that they do right, everything they do wrong. They map out a course. And I think that really he has seen and he has basically evolved with the game over the last couple of years of where it's going. And especially considering, like, you know, getting into the playoffs in 2017 and not being able to really move the ball and score, like, that was a hindrance for them. And then the next year they tried to really improve the offense, but it just wasn't there enough. They, you know, in 18 they missed the playoffs, and then 19 last year they get to the playoffs, and again they didn't score enough. You know, I think he's realized, if I'm going to win a Super Bowl, we got to score. How do we do that? We need playmakers, we need players, and we need to let our quarterback, who we believe in here, do what he has to do. And I think that's just been really the evolution of seeing where his team is and digging into what the trends are of the league and arriving to this point.
Pretty simple game, right, Sal? Just score more points. That's all it comes down to. Sal, before we let you go, I know you're going to get asked by a lot of fans before kickoff on Saturday. Which way are you leaning?
Oh, I mean, I'm going to pick the Bills. You know, the spread is about a touchdown. I think that, you know, the Colts are a good team, guys. They won 11 games. I just don't know how any team can keep up with the Bills right now, the way they're scoring. 31 points a game, right? So I have the Bills winning by 10, you know, in my official prediction, which I guess I can sneak into you guys right now before I give it on the air. But, no, that's what I have, and I think it'll be a game where the Bills should, to me, be able to get to 30 points. You know, this is a Colts secondary that I think you can throw on a little bit. So they'll have that opportunity. But I do think the Colts have they're sneaky on offense and they can keep this game close if a few breaks go their way.
Sal, you're the best. Have fun on Saturday, and we always appreciate your time.
All right, guys, thanks.
There you go, Sal Capaccio from Radio.com Sports Sister Station WGR in Buffalo, and you'll hear Sal on the call roaming the sidelines Saturday afternoon, kickoff just after 1 here on ESPN Rochester.
They're playing, right? Diggs and Beasley.
Yeah. Beasley, I was unsure of. Because everybody we talk to, the coach speak that McDermott throws out there, when talking about injuries, week to week literally is week to week. And technically, yeah, Beasley missed a week. So he's week to week. And he stays week to week until he gets back on the field. And now, with the practice today, albeit limited, yeah, let's get him out there.
Diggs, you're definitely getting back. Beasley, I would say no. Even at this point, even he was out there today. I remember earlier in the season, you would have these weeks where, oh, yeah, you're going to get Milano back. No, he didn't come back. It is the playoffs, Mike Danger. I understand that, but would you be better off just making sure that Beasley, yes, I know there's no savers, okay, because savers are losers, but you do have a guy in Isaiah McKenzie that can fill that role nicely.
Look, the real thing Beasley wants to be on the field for on Saturday is he dropped a new single this week, and the more catches he makes on Saturday, the more downloads he'll get of that new single. So, yes, he will be on the field on Saturday. I'm not worried about it at all. We've got other news and notes from around the NFL to get to next with NFL appetizers. The Robert Saleh interview tour continues. We'll tell you where the 49ers defensive coordinator is interviewing today.
Wait a second. Is that the guy that's on the sidelines for the 49ers?
You would think he's like the head coach. No, that's Robert Saleh.
I think I've seen that guy. Yeah.
That's Robert Saleh. Can't miss him. Bald head. Animated. Prints very well on TV. Hot head coaching prospect Robert Saleh.
Think back how many great Bills wins there were. The Bills are crushing the 49ers, but let's begin the second half by talking about all the things we prepared, you know, in the pregame. We have to get to talk about Robert Saleh.
Yeah. So we'll tell you where he's interviewing today and where he's headed later on this week. And boy, leave it to our buddy John McClain from the Houston Chronicle to just completely douse any flame that we had when we were trying to connect dots yesterday with Nick Caserio signing with the Texans to become their new GM. You know, why not? Josh McDaniels is the new head coach in Houston.
I don't know if McClain has another scorcher out of Houston because there's another, you know, rumor out there.
Yeah, we'll get into that and more here. NFL appetizers on the way next. Stay in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.